In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We are still in the book of Nehemiah, and we're studying the life of Nehemiah. Okay, so we were studying the leadership of in the book of Nehemiah and his style. As you know, that he was given a great task to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king, in the exile of Judah. And in this task, it was a big project, a huge project that he took on to do, and he took this mission from the Lord himself. Even though he had nothing to do, but you know, he took the responsibility as a Jew to go and rebuild this wall. Because this wall represented a lot, security, honor, a lot of things. And it needed a lot of leadership, a lot of inspiration for this to happen. And we have great lessons of leadership. We learned many lessons of leadership already. And today we're going to learn another lesson in leadership, which is called intimidation, okay? Because if you are going to be used by God, you will definitely be intimidated, okay? And how do you respond to intimidation? Very, very, very important. So we're studying now chapter 6. And before we start, I just want to tell you that leaders spend more time fighting and in resistance than the time of the work itself. And it's very normal to do that. Okay? For example, you need to do a mission. Okay? Maybe 2/3 of your energy is going to go against fighting the odds and the resistance, internal and external, and just 1/3 of your energy and time is spent in doing the work itself. To a point that some people would say, it is a waste of time. Why am I wasting 2/3 of my time just to get things done? A lot of people, when they start ministry, they say that. Is it worth it? Just too much hassle, too much work, too much resistance. Why should I do that? Guess what? This is leadership, okay? Welcome to leadership. If you are being assigned to be a leader, and if you're fulfilling your role as a Christian to be a leader, this has to happen. So when you read the book of Nehemiah, it didn't talk much about the building and the mortar and the bricks and stuff like this. It talked more about the resistance and the problems that he had to face and how he dealt with problems. But if anyone thinks that, you know, in order to do any work in the work of God and to take on a project or a mission without resistance, then you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. And God allows the resistance, or even God uses the resistance to do what? Because guess what? God cares about the minister than the ministry. God cares for the leader more than he cares actually for the project itself. Believe it or not, that's how God is. And, you know, I don't want to take more time explaining or convincing you with that. So why, if God loves certain people and he sees that these people are like good people and trustworthy, why facing all this resistance? He's building their character. He's building their endurance. He's building their patience, according to St. James. If anyone learns patience, he learns to be a perfect man. Just patience. So God allows that, God permits that to teach, you know, the leader to be, to teach him character and to teach him patience. So if you want to be a leader, you need to learn that. You need to learn not to give in to resistance and to keep going, okay? As you have seen during this, we didn't talk, we talked once about planning. That's the real work. But the rest of the work is discouragement, criticism, you know, today intimidation, as the leader's job is to do nothing but to, you know, continue to fight. It's a big fight, okay? So we have to understand that. So let's start with chapter 6 and see what we learned this time. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates. So the enemies, these three gentlemen that you heard their names, they come over and over. They never stop somehow. They never gave up. Come on, the man has been like holding strong all this time. Give in. The walls are already done. Only what's left are to hang the doors. So the walls are done. We're almost finished. The project is almost over. You haven't stopped resisting. You haven't stopped like causing problems. No. Usually, the hardest attack is around the victory. I don't know if you know that or not. Did you know that? The hardest and the toughest attack is around victory. When a victory is very close to happen, or when a victory already happened. I want you to open 1 Corinthians 10:12. Quickly, 1 Corinthians 10:12. What does it say? It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Again. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It's when you think you are standing on your feet, that's when you're vulnerable most to fall. It's in your greatest victory, that's when you are tempted hard to fall. I'll give you some examples. When did David fall? When he had a lot of resistance from Saul and the wars and all of this? No. It's when he rested after he took down all his enemies, after he was victorious, that's when he fell with Bathsheba, as you know. When in his strongest time, in his peak, when he thinks that he is standing, and he started falling. Jonah, when did he fall into the temptation of self-pity? Poor me, and I knew I shouldn't have done that. After doing a great mission, and after the repentance of Nineveh, when they repented, a beautiful, amazing repentance, when he turned a whole city to God, oh my God, I'm good for nothing. Really? When did Elijah get depressed? The famous depression of Elijah. Same day of the greatest victory of mankind in winning souls to God and in victory over the enemy. When was Joseph tempted? When he was very successful, when he was in charge of the house of Potiphar, and he was like in control of everything. So when you think you are standing, then you are most vulnerable to fall. So that's the time of temptation, when the walls are almost done. And this is like the same with everyone. Is the same with me. You know, I personally remember that the hardest time I usually face is like after something great that God is doing. When God is doing something amazing after a big milestone or success or anything like this, that's when we're fought most and vulnerable most. So during this time, when they're almost done with the walls, he was attacked in three different ways. And we're going to go through these three different attacks in chapter 6. Very important because they are intimidation, as I said. You know, if we want to put a title for today's Operation Intimidation. So it's all intimidations. And as I said, God permits that to strengthen the leader and to, you know, to build his character. As a matter of fact, actually, that God's intention is never to soften us with ease. Like, when you love someone, you want this person to be happy, right? When you love someone, you want this person to be happy. When God loves someone, he wants him to be holy. Big difference. Not happy, but holy. It would be great if he's happy. God, you know, God would love that. But a lot of times that happiness not necessarily means, or holiness not necessarily means happiness. But what we care about most, you think about it, if you think about what we strive for every day, is all happiness. It's how to make myself feel a little bit better, relieve some pain. Sometimes it becomes the goal, happiness, not necessarily holiness. And that's the differentiation between God's will and our will. Okay? So God is trying to toughen him up, provide him with holiness. Three attacks he was attacked. Okay? First attack, read verse 2. It says, Nehemiah 6:2, that Sanballat and Gishm sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. These were the enemies, right? Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah. The enemies since day one. They challenged, they said they're never going to build the wall. They ended up building the wall. So now we're done. Let's come and get together. When I read this, I assume the people are saying, what is done is done. The elections are over. You're the winner, let's be friends. But Nehemiah said, they want to do me harm. And he said no. He didn't want to go. You think this smart? You think this wise? Isn't this like negative attitude? Like these, the enemies, you build the wall, go and talk with them, convince them. Just, you know, let's get together. Let's fix things. Ono was a nice place. It was like a place of gardens and stuff like this. It was like 20 miles north of Jerusalem. So it was like a resort, okay? So you've been working so hard. Why don't you come and relax and let's meet at the beach? It wasn't a beach, but, you know, it's a nice, calming area. What was the answer? No. Why not? Once they asked Saint Anthony the Great, he said, what is the most important virtue? And he said, guess. So some people said, of course, love. He said, no. He said, love? No? He said, no. How about humility? Because usually, you know, people are big on these two virtues. He said, no. He said, the most important virtue ever is discernment. To discern what is right and what's wrong. to discern. Because love is never enough. Because there is harmful love. So many parents love their kids, harmful love, spoil them or whatever. Okay? The love of the world is not really love. The discernment is not that to love, but how to love. It's to discern when to be humble and when to be active and when to take a stand. Discernment. So Nehemiah, as a leader, he had this great virtue of discernment. People, the enemies, you know, we were enemies because of the walls. The walls are done. The enemies want to meet. He said, no, I'm not going. Why? They want to do me harm. Let's see his answer in verse 3, the complete answer. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? What's your first instinct when you listen to this? What's your first reaction? Doesn't this sound arrogant a little bit? I'm doing a great work. Why should I come down to you? Sounds arrogant a little bit. That is 100% discernment. That's why I told you the first virtue is not love and it's not humility. Because you think this is not humble versus this is very, very, very humble, very wise. And any word other than this is not correct. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Practical examples. You're a servant and you are invited by your friends to go out in a place that's, you know, questionable. Let me not name the place and say any names like Tarbush or anything like this. I didn't say anything. Questionable place. And they're saying, now you're a servant and you think that you're better than us? Come down. And listen, the Bible is very careful. Come down. Why should I come down? Well, I'm doing great work. God put me in a charge of a great work. He didn't say that he's a great man. Did he say I'm a great man? He said God gave me a big responsibility. Why should I leave this big, huge responsibility and come down to you? Why? It doesn't make any sense. I wish every servant is able to do that. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down to you. Why watch 2-3 hours game or movie or anything like this and God has given me the responsibility of a great work? I'm doing great work. He didn't say I'm a great man. He didn't say I'm better than you. No. I'm doing great work. Very true. The work is great. The work is very important. The work is from God. Why should I leave that and come down to you? You know what is this called? It's called priorities. No one can ever be a leader or learn to be a successful person if he doesn't or she doesn't know how to set priorities. Setting priorities In one word is no. Or according to my children, N-O. Okay? They change it a little bit so it sounds a little bit better. N-O. Sometimes this is the only difference between a leader and a follower. Sometimes these two letters. N-O. How many no's are you able to say? That's how much of a good leader you'll be. Because no means that you have certain priorities. Because you say no to good things. Can you say no to good things? Yes, in order to do great things. You say no to good things. Good things. How about fellowship? Let's go for fellowship. Don't be isolated. I agree. I don't want to be isolated. And I would love to be with you. And I love to do fellowship. But you know what? I have greater work. I don't mean I'm a greater person. But there is great work. Okay? Leadership in two letters. N-O. Being able to say no. If you're not able to say that, then you might never be a leader. And saying no, not to bad things. Saying no to good things that you may be able to say yes to. Huh? Great things. Understand? Verse 4. But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. Amazing. What a secure man. Unintimidated. 4 times. You're being arrogant. Come on. 4 times. First notice. Second notice. You know the invite, what is it called? Is it like second reminder, third reminder, delete, delete, delete. And they keep sending it, I don't know how. Do they know when I delete the invite? They keep sending it. I said no. Why not? No, no explanation. Even, you know, the no is the strongest when it's without explanation. Did he explain? No, doing greater work. Why should the work stop? I'm not coming. Verse 5. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. 4 times, verbally, calm down. Let us meet. Take a break. You know, just a little bit. Let's relax. No, 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 no. 5th time, he sent an official notice with an official message. What does that mean? Open letter. He's reading it in front of everybody. First, it's between us. Let's get together. Now, in front of everybody, this man is arrogant and he doesn't want to come down. What does the open letter says? It says, it is reported among the nations, and Jashm says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. That is really intimidating. So the first one is a personal request. Come down. That's the first war. Second war, what are they fighting him with now? Rumors. We heard that you guys are rebelling and you are making yourself a king and even making prophets to say that you're a king. None of this is true. None of this. He was a governor. You know, just a leader, but he was never a king. Because king means he's rebelling against his king who sent him. So you better come down before these go to the ears of the king. What's the definition of a rumor? 2 things. It has no source. I heard people say, I heard people say, they say. That's how you know it's a rumor. Number one, no source, unknown source. Number two, exaggeration and inaccuracy. King even appointing a prophet to say they're a king, that's false, 100% false. Does this hurt or not? When you hear a rumor about yourself, that you're not a man of integrity, or you're not a woman of integrity, or you're not an honest person, or you're someone who's like sneaky or any of this. What does that feel? Especially when it's 100% wrong and it's rumors. It hurts. It hurts so much. You know that rumors, especially when it's against your character, it's actually like killing. It's like killing. And it did hurt him. It did hurt him, as we will see now. So, should he go or not go? Go or not? Because if he doesn't go, the rumors will grow. If he goes, then he's jeopardizing his life and the work, and he gave in the end to the enemy. We'll see. What did he do? Before we leave the rumors, you know that number one killer of any community or a house or friends is rumors? Do you know that Christians fall into rumors, and even people in churches fall into rumors more than other people? You know what they call it in churches? Prayer requests. Let's pray for so-and-so because they got some problems. Prayer requests. Watch for these. Or, yeah, we want to pray for so-and-so because, yeah, you know, hasn't been doing well. Or just talking. Talking about service. Talking about, or caring. We're caring. Caring so much. It destroys the body of Christ. It destroys churches. In the book of Ephesians, it spoke about the body of Christ, the church. And in Ephesians 4:29, if you want to open Ephesians 4:29, Ephesians is the epistle of the church, 4:29. After it spoke about the, I think Ephesians 4 is today's quiet time. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification." Can you underline this? Necessary edification. Necessary edification. That it may impart grace to the hearers. Has to be necessary and has to be building someone. I beg you, before you open your mouth, according to James 3, that's the gate of hell right there. Think about what you're going to say. Is it going to benefit the person? Is it going to benefit the person? Does it have a real known source? Or I just heard? So you're continuing to do the rumors. Not so-and-so heard it from so-and-so who's knowing exactly where the source is coming from. Never, ever, ever, ever say anything doesn't have a source. Never say anything that's not going to build the hearer. It's not necessary. It doesn't concern the person. It's not going to build the person. We spread rumors. We destroy communities. We destroy friends by this. Because I heard, it was said. What is the best way to confront, to deal with rumors? When you hear, they said, I heard all these things. What is the best way? The best way is direct confrontation. Are you sure of what you said? If you're not sure what you said, please don't say it again. And don't spread these words, because this can destroy our community. Please don't spread that. Do you have enough strength? Are you following the truth? Can you fight for the truth or not? Can you see someone destroying Can you see someone coming and putting a bomb in the church and let him? If you see someone putting a bomb in the church and you didn't see anything and you didn't talk about it, what do we call you? What do we call you? Sorry, I wanted to use you because I wanted you to take it personally. I usually don't use you. If you saw someone putting a bomb in the church and you never reported it, what do we call you? You're a coworker. You're a partner in this crime. Spreading a rumor is no less than this, because it's going to destroy the church, it's going to destroy the community, and you are allowing it, and you're not standing for the truth. You're a partner in a crime. Just hearing it without saying, are you sure of what you're saying? If you're not sure of what you're saying, please don't say that to anyone else. Do you have the guts? Do you have the strength to do that or not? Very, very, very important. It shows here that rumors are the devices of the devil. We don't want to be partners with him. We don't want to be partners with him by any means. It was very hurtful to Nehemiah. Verse 8, what did he say? Nehemiah 6, 8. Then I sent to him saying, no such things as you said are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. So he said, no, what you're saying is not true. And verse 9, he says, for they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Best thing about Nehemiah, he was so real. He said, they're making us afraid. What does it mean, making us afraid? You know what it means? I was afraid when I heard that. It's scary. They're going to tell his king, his boss, this man is rebelling against you. It's very scary. He said, I was scared. I didn't know what to do. He's putting it before God. Beautiful. So real. He doesn't say, oh, I don't care. And he's like shivering from inside. He didn't say that. He said, they wanted us to be afraid. But God, strengthen my hands. I'm weak. Do you know that only leaders say that they are weak? Anyone who says that I'm strong is not really strong. Only leaders can say that. Only leaders ask for directions and ask for help. You know why? Because only leaders can build a team and they have support, and they have core group, and that's how they grow. Anyone who doesn't say, I need help, and I need people, and I need support, and I need directions, and I need God, and I'm afraid, is not a leader. This is 100% leadership from Nehemiah. And it shows how the rumors hurt him. There is fake spirituality, fake humility. Someone just labeled you something very bad and say, I don't care. No, of course you care. You have to say that you care. And you have to put this before God. And from the prayer, you understand that he knows that it is a war. The last thing, very quickly, the third war. So, personal invitations. Second is an open letter. And third is a big religious trap. Religious trap. What is it? Let's see here. Afterwards, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, excuse my pronunciation if it wasn't correct, who was a secret informer. Secret informer, he was like with the enemies, but secretly. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, inside the temple. And let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. So a prophet, he went to a house of a prophet, or a man that's known to be a prophet, and told him, you know what? I have news for you. They're after you. So the best thing, let's go hide in the temple. Why in the temple? Because they can't. No one is allowed to get inside the temple except the priests. So if they come, they will never expect you inside the temple, and you'll be saved there. What does this sound? Needs discernment. If no one is allowed to enter except the priest, why should I? Because they're going to kill you. So in order to protect myself, I break the rules of God and the law of God. Guess what? That was the trap. They were not going to kill him. They just wanted to spread the rumor. This man broke the rules of God and he made it into the temple that he's not allowed to. To shame him and to make him break the rules of God. What did he say? He said, and I said, should such a man as I flee? Is this arrogant? Arrogance? It's not arrogance. I'm a man. I'm coming for a mission. Am I afraid for my life? I'm not afraid for my life. And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? Do I break God's commandment to save my life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Even though he was a prophet, but Nehemiah, in his wisdom and his discernment, he was able to say, no, that's wrong. We are tempted a lot to break God's rules to save ourselves. Am I became my savior? And Jesus is not my savior anymore? Am I going to defend my life? Am I responsible for my life? And it's not him anymore? It's a war. It's a conspiracy against him. In the end, in verse 14, as usual, or in verse 13, for this reason, he was hired that I should be afraid and act that way and sin against God, so they may have a cause for an evil report that they might reproach me. And then he took it to God in verse 14. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. They made me afraid. Verse 15, the good news. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Mission accomplished. 52 days. The entire walls of a big city finished in 52 days. It's 100% miraculous. Why? Because this 100% God's work. As he said later on in verse 16, and it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was done by our God. They didn't say Nehemiah is great. They said their God is great. That's a good leader. He gives the glory and honor in the end to God. It is the work of God. From day one, he said, this is not my work. It's the work of God. But a lot of people, they are overwhelmed. They have a lot. They don't know what to do. Too many responsibilities. As if this work is my work. It is the work of God. It is not my work. It is the work of God. So, you know, in conclusion, Nehemiah was fought so much. And as we talk about leadership, we said most of leaders' energy goes in fighting wars against the devil, discernment, what to do with people and how to answer and to make good decisions. Very, very important. So maybe 2/3 of the energy of any leader goes in fighting and 1/3 in doing the work. it is very normal. Never to be discouraged and never to give in by intimidation or criticism or discouragement, as we've seen. We've seen throughout the book so far, they didn't talk about building. We're all talking about nonsense, people fighting, people talking, people sending messages, stuff like this. That is very normal. When you're doing the right work of God, you will be fought so much. The resistance will be great. And it is very normal. It means you're doing the work of God. Never say, it's not worth it. Why am I doing all of this? I left my house, and I left my great position, and I left like the palace in order to come here and fight with these nonsense people. Never said that. He never said that. He continued. He continued to do God's will. He continued to do the work no matter what the resistance and how much resistance he faced. So until the mission is accomplished. I told you many times, the secret of success of many people, Mother Teresa is one of them. Lillian Trasher, one of them. What is the secret of your success? We just kept going. I never stopped. I never stopped. Why? Because I'm doing great work. It's not because I'm great, but I'm doing great work. It's the work of God. How can I leave the great work and come down to you? Why should I leave great work and come down to you? I hope that we are encouraged and strengthened by that. Because as I said, the life of a leader is a series of criticism, discouragement, intimidations, and the rest will follow. Glory be to God forever and ever. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom that you've given us, Lord, this night. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us the wisdom and discernment that we need, Lord, to go forward with your ministry, with your work. Give us to know, Lord, that the work we are doing for you is a great work, and never to leave the great work, Lord, for any distraction. We are distracted so much, Lord, by so many things. Teach us how to say no to good things, so we can do great things, Lord, great things for you. We thank you, Lord, for choosing us to do a great work for you. Strengthen our hands, Lord, and strengthen our spirit, Lord, against the discouragement, against the criticism, against the intimidation, Lord, the same way that you give to your disciples and your prophets that you have chosen, Lord. Give us to learn how to stand, especially, Lord, when we're strong, or when we are successful by you, or when we accomplish things through your grace, that we may never fall. If we think that we are standing, give us the wisdom, the discernment, Lord, to hold unto you, and to hold strong, Lord, lest we fall. Pray this in the name of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, through intercession of Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, all your saints, when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.